Hare Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Vastitade Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha kalpa trubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patita nam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. I feel very honored to be here to speak about Lord Balaram on what I feel is maybe the most auspicious day of the year for us new Ramanreti residents, and I recognize there's so many exalted Vaishnavas here who should be speaking rather than me. I ask for all of your blessings that I could glorify Sri Balaram and the words of Srila Prabhupada and our Acharyas. Thank you very much. Today's verse is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 12. Sorry, I did not give the verse beforehand. I completely forgot, but we can do the word for word as Prabhu pulls up the verse. Just one moment. Sri Garga Uvacha, Garga Muni said, I am this, he, indeed, Rohini Putra, the son of Rohini, Ramayan, pleasing, Suhrida, all his friends and relatives, Gunai, by transcendental qualities, Akyasyate will be called Rama by the name Rama, the supreme enjoyer. Iti, in this way, Bala Adikyat, because of extraordinary strength, Balam Vidhu, will be known as Balaram, Yadunam of the Yadu dynasty, Apritak Bhavat, because of not being separated from you, Sankarshanam, by the name Sankarshan, or uniting two families, Ushanti, attracts, Api, also. Okay, wonderful. Let's do the verse. Shri Garga Uvacha, Ayam hi dohini putro, Ayam hi dohini putro, Ramayan surhido gunai, Ramayan surhido gunai, Akyasyate Rama iti, Baladikyad balam vidu, Yadunam apritag bhavat. Nope. I have something different. Oh, it's there. Okay. Yadunam apritag bhavat. Sankarshanam ushantyapi. Maybe we can just do it all together once. Ready? Hihi putro Ramayan surido gunai akyasya rama iti baladikyad balam vidu yadunam apritag bhavat sankarshanam ushantiapi. Gargamuni said, this child, the son of Rohini, will give all happiness to his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities. Therefore, he will be known as Rama. And because he will manifest extraordinary bodily strength, he will also be known as Bala. Moreover, because he unites two families, Vasudev's family and the family of Nanda Maharaj, he will be known as Sankarshan. Purport. Baladev was actually the son of Devaki, but he was transferred from Devaki's womb to that of Rohini. This fact was not disclosed, according to a statement in the Harivamsa. Gargamuni did not disclose to Nanda Maharaj that Balaram would be known as Sankarshan because of uniting two families, the Yadu Vamsa and the Vamsa of Nanda Maharaj, one of which was known as Kshatriya and the other as Vaishya. Both families had the same original forefather, the only difference being that Nanda Maharaj was born of a Vaishya wife, whereas Vasudev was born of a Kshatriya wife. Later, Nanda Maharaj married a Vaishya wife, and Vasudev married a Kshatriya wife. So although the families of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev both came from the same father, they were divided as Kshatriya and Vaishya. Now Baladev united them, and therefore he was known as Sankarshan. Shri Baladev ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. So this verse is Gargamuni at the name-giving ceremony of Lord Balaram. And he's explaining this name Balaram, and we will go into a little more detail. But I want to begin with the birth story of Balaram. And what I find very intriguing about the appearance of Lord Balaram more than the birth story. But the appearance of Lord Balaram is so intriguing because it's quite mysterious. And I remember earlier this year, I'm part of a group that they read 18 pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita every day. I'm chapters behind, by the way. But in the group, every week there's a set of verses that they read. And I remember earlier this year, it was around the time of Lord Nityananda's appearance day that they got to, I believe, chapter 5 about Lord Nityananda. And I thought, this is amazing. I'm going to read all the pastimes of Lord Nityananda right around his appearance day. And I opened the chapter, and it's 200 pages, 300 pages of dense philosophy, dense tattva, Balaram tattva, Nityananda tattva. And I reading and reading and reading. Okay, maybe at the end we'll get to some Leela. Dense Tattva. Why? Balaram really is the original source of everything. And he's not so easy to understand. And therefore his appearance is also not so easy to understand. Srila Prabhupada said, this information was not disclosed. It was kept secretive. So as we know, Kamsa, being so afraid of the prophecy that the eighth child will be the one who will kill him, and being even more anxious when Narad Muni said, but this eighth child, he can come at any time. He can come at any time. So don't wait for the eighth one. Each of the children, they have to go. You have to kill each of the children. Six children passed in this way. The seventh came, but the seventh was different. It was a divine incarnation. This was Sankarshan. And it's so wonderful, Srila Prabhupada explains the meaning of this name, Sankarshan. It's uniting. It's uniting two families. But also, Balaram is the one who unites the devotee with Krishna. Balaram is the one who comes in the form of the spiritual master and brings the jiva to Krishna. Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki to then be transferred by the potency of Yogamaya to Rohini. Rohini was situated in Gokul under the kingdom of Nanda Maharaj. And this is significant for a couple of reasons. It's significant because Balaram's sole purpose is always to serve Krishna. Balaram is always serving Krishna in every capacity. How is he serving Krishna here? Lord Balaram is preparing the womb of Devaki for Krishna's appearance. Lord Balaram is preparing the Brajabasis, the atmosphere of Vrindavan, for the appearance of Krishna. Balaram is always there setting the stage. And it's also very significant that it's confusing for a reason. I was hearing this very nice pastime and Srila Prabhupada in Allahabad in 1977 was present for the Kumbh Mela festival. And devotees got into a debate. They got into an argument, a civil argument. One devotee said, there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is Krishna is blackish in color, Balaram is whitish in color. And if you ever go to Nandagaon, to the temple of Krishna and Balaram, you would see the deities, it's the whole family of Nanda Maharaj. In the very front, there's Krishna and Balaram, and they look exactly the same. They're both blackish in color, the same exact posture. And they say it's because Mother Yashoda sees no difference between these two boys. So this devotee said, there's no difference. He also said, the only difference is just their color, but there's no difference. Another devotee chimed in, no, but there is a difference. There's a difference because Krishna has Radharani. Balaram does not have Radharani. So this is a big difference. This is a very big difference. So how can you say they're the same? So this went back and forth for some time. And they thought, there's only one way to solve this. We have to ask Srila Prabhupada. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj took this topic to Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, there's a quarrel that has come, and we need you to pass the ultimate judgment. Prabhupada said, yes. And he said, on one side, one party is saying that Balaram and Krishna, they are identical. Is this true? Prabhupada said, yes. And on the other side, they're saying that they are different because one party, Krishna, has Radharani, and the other party, Balaram, does not. Is this also correct, Srila Prabhupada? Yes, this is correct. But how can both be correct? Who's right? What's the answer? Srila Prabhupada said, you decide. But it has such a deep meaning. You see, it's tattva can't always be understood by logic alone. We can't always understand who is the Supreme Lord, who is Balaram, who is Guru, simply with logic. Sometimes these things transcend what our mind can grasp. Krishna says, Bhakti Amam Abhijanati, that you can only understand me through devotional service. Only then will I give you the knowledge to understand me. So, like this, the tattva of Balaram can feel seemingly inconceivable. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada Acharyas, they give different ways to understand who is Lord Balaram. One very simple example is if I take a lighter, for example, in Kartik we light diyas every day to offer. So the devotees who are situated here, they take a lighter, that's the original flame, and what do they do with it? They light a candle, right? And from that candle, each wick becomes lit. You see where I'm going with this? That original flame is compared to Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. But the first candle that's lit, that source of every other ghiwick, which is subsequently lit from there, that's like Lord Balaram. Is there a difference between the flame that comes from the match? Or is there a difference between that flame and the first candle? Yes or no? No. But it comes from a different source. Or one was the original source and one was the first manifestation, correct? So this is the understanding in simple terms of who is Lord Balaram. Some say Balaram is Krishna who steps to his right. As simple as that. But it's so much more deep. But for a simplistic understanding, we can think of Lord Balaram. This is the origin of his tattva. This is how we can understand his tattva in simplistic ways. Balaram serves the Lord in all five rasas. He is the ultimate servitor. We can say in the Dasya Ras, it's very clear. He's always serving the Lord in every capacity, in every incarnation. I like to look at the incarnation of Lakshman as an example of servitude and how he always served the Lord in every capacity, went with him wherever he went. Every hardship Lord Ram faced, Lakshman was there. Shantaras, the Lord expands his energy to create the pastime places of the Lord, the paraphernalia, his clothing, his ornaments, his flute, his shoes, the mridanga drum. Everything is an emanation of Balaram Shakti. In this way, he serves the Lord in Shantaras. In Sakyaras, he's the ultimate coward boy, as we heard the pastimes spoken on by Kalakanta Prabhu. Vatsalya Ras, he's almost like a parent. Mother Yashoda is always instructing Balaram, no one is looking after my boy. He's going to go out and step on sharp thorns. Watch his front, watch his side, watch behind him. I'm entrusting you. So Balaram becomes this extension of Krishna's parents. And in Madhurya Ras, Balaram does not interfere with the conjugal pastimes directly, but he expands himself as a Nangamanjari, who then participates in these pastimes. So Balaram is the personification of serving Krishna in every capacity. And as devotees who are sole purpose and goal in life is to serve the Supreme Lord, who else to go to besides Lord Balaram? There's two other aspects of Lord Balaram's, I could say, tattva that I want to mention before I speak on some of his leelas, because I think they're very, very important. The first is Lord Balaram is what's known as Samasti Guru Tattva. What does this mean? Samasti Guru Tattva. This means he's the sum total of all Guru Shakti, all Shaktis that are instilled within the Guru Parampara. They originate from Lord Balaram. In other words, he is Adi Guru. He is the original Guru. He's the sum total of all Guru-ness or Guru Shaktis, all empowerment, all Shakti from the Guru comes straight from Balaram. And he's also known as the source of spiritual strength. Have you heard this? Lord Balaram is the source of spiritual strength. But what does this mean? We know this is a very important connection that the devotee has with Lord Balaram, is that we can take shelter of Lord Balaram as the source of spiritual strength. Prabhupada once said in a lecture, some less intelligent persons interpret bala as the strength of the body, but no one can have spiritual realization by physical strength. In other words, by our own willpower. Physical strength ends with the end of the physical body, but spiritual strength follows the spirit soul to the next transmigration. And therefore, the strength obtained by Baladev is never wasted. The strength is eternal. And thus Baladev is the original spiritual master of the devotees. So this is how Lord Balaram represents the spiritual strength. He does so as the spiritual master. And Prabhupada says something very important here. Physical strength alone ends with the physical body. Our own willpower can only take us so far. Our own willpower will only go as far as this body goes. Meaning our own ability to practice Krishna consciousness with our own endeavor solely, with our own ability, with whatever our senses can do, it will only take us as far as this body will take us. In other words, we have to learn to become dependent on the mercy of Lord Balaram. If we want to transcend this material world, we have to become dependent on the strength available from Lord Balaram. Because in our own, with our own strength, it's not possible. It's simply not possible. And it's not a matter that we're too weak, even though we are. It's that this is the process of bhakti, is that we must accept help from higher sources, that it's not a journey of one's own ability solely. When do we need spiritual strength? Have you ever felt like you need spiritual strength? Raise your hand. Yes. Spiritual strength, I feel it's, you especially feel it when you feel weak, right? When you feel, how will I overcome my lack of taste? How will I give up my attachments? How will I give up my attachments to my family, my home, my money, my position? How will I feel inspired again? If you've ever felt any of these things, there is a lack of spiritual strength in the heart. And if you ever feel any of these things, it's important to stop and reflect that I need Balaram. In this verse, Sri Garga Muni mentions, this boy will bring all transcendental pleasure, so his name will be Rama. But he also possesses great strength, so his name will be Bala. Therefore, he's known as Balaram. So spiritual strength doesn't just mean bala alone. It doesn't just mean more motivation. It doesn't just mean a little more sleep. It means it's the mercy to continue the process of Krishna consciousness joyfully. That is what spiritual strength is. Because bala, Ram. Ram is pleasure. He is the source of pleasure. He is the source of joy, the source of ananda. And therefore, if we are seeking spiritual strength, the result is that we want to be able to continue devotional service with taste, with enthusiasm, not just willpower. This is the key. That is spiritual strength, out of love. It's the ability to move forward in spiritual life with love. And Prabhupada would often refer to the strength as achuta bala. Achuta, we may know, means infallible, or there is no flaw. So it's a strength that has no flaw. It doesn't fail us. But what does fail us is our own endeavors, our own strength and ability. And if we ride just on this again and again, it will only take us so far. So why is it very important for the devotee? What is the darkness in the heart? What is the anartha that we most need strength to overcome? This is what's explained in this pastime of Dhenukastra. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for every demon that is, you say, presented or appears in Krishna's pastimes, he makes a note that each demon represents an anartha that is within the heart of a living entity. And each way the demon is slayed by the Lord teaches the devotee how we can overcome that anartha. Have you heard this before? It's very important. The acharyas, they don't just comment on Krishna's pastimes just for the sake of adding more detail, but we can draw so many lessons. Of course, the lila is complete in itself. It doesn't have to become metaphorical, but it helps us so much to understand how we can move forward. So This demon Dhenukasura, he represents spiritual ignorance. Spiritual ignorance, or ignorance to spiritual knowledge. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, attachment to gross material sense enjoyment and ignorance of spiritual knowledge. So I ask, why is this anartha so detrimental to devotees, right? We think we're practicing on the transcendental path. Why do I have to worry about ignorance? Chant Hare Krishna and we will be past the mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness, right? These holy names, they hold all the shaktis of the Lord. They are transcendental names of the Lord. Why do I have to worry about this? Because as sadhakas, what this means, spiritual ignorance, is that we have heard so many times, so many lectures, we've perhaps chanted so many rounds, perhaps read so many books, participated in so many festivals, but there may still be a disconnect between what we feel in our heart and what the practice is supposed to bring. Why was there a disconnect? I give it many names. Sometimes I call it laziness. Sometimes I call it complacency. Sometimes I call it lack of taste. But the root cause of this is ignorance. Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita a little bit of what it means to be in the mode of ignorance. One of the mode of ignorance does not work by a regulative principle. He wants to act whimsically for no purpose. Even though he has the capacity to work, he makes no endeavor. This is called illusion. Although consciousness is still going on, life is inactive. These are the symptoms of one in the mode of ignorance. Apply this to a practicing devotee. Apply this to ourselves. One in the mode of ignorance does not want to work by a regulative principle. We may know the regulative principles. We may not want to follow them. He wants to act whimsically for no purpose. Even though he has the capacity to work, even though we may have the capacity to perform devotional service, he makes no endeavor. I can say that sounds a little familiar. I may have the capacity to do more devotional service. I may have the capacity to do devotional service more intentionally, but I may not make the endeavor, even though the capacity is there. Prabhupada says, this is called illusion. Although consciousness is still going on, right? Although Krishna conscious activities may still be going on in our day-to-day life, life is inactive. Have you ever felt this way? The Krishna conscious activities are going on every day, but you feel inactive. You feel that perhaps mechanical. You're just going with the flow, going with the process. These are the symptoms of one of the mode of ignorance. So when we stop and think about it, the mode of ignorance is very, very difficult to overcome. It's a stronghold on the living entity in the process of anartha nivritti. It's a very stronghold. And how to overcome it? Have you ever thought of that? How do I overcome this? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the answer is Lord Balaram. The answer is Lord Balaram. I mean, how? It's given in this lila. So Dhenukasura in a previous life was known as Sahasrika. Sahasrika was the son of Bali. And he was a fighter. He was a warrior. And on his tour, he met a very beautiful apsara, a very beautiful heavenly woman. Her name was Tilakama. And he was a young, passionate enjoyer. They met, they fell in love. They were up in the mountains and they thought, let us enjoy together. But there was a problem because right where they were was a cave and there was a yogi who was meditating. Any guesses who this yogi was? Durvasa Muni. As soon as you say Durvasa Muni, everyone clenches. Because he knows what's about to come next. So Durvasa Muni was there in deep meditation. And he started hearing ankle bells. And he was disturbed. And he said, what, here in these mountains? Who is here doing these activities? So he went out and he saw there is Tilakama and the son of Bali, Sahasrika. And he was furious, 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 as you can imagine. He thought, in the mountains here while I'm trying to meditate on the Lord. So he cursed him. He cursed him. He said, you don't even know anything about yourself. You are so ignorant of your position, of who you are. You are eternal spirit soul, yet you engage in these activities. You are covered by so much ignorance. I curse you, become a donkey in your next life. So Hachika was shocked. He said, no, please, forgive me. Doesn't usually work when you approach Durvasa Muni like this. But he was feeling kind, and he said, okay, I made a curse. I cannot go back on my curse. However, I will give a benediction. Because I see you feel very sorry. I see genuine remorse. And I see that this life of ignorance, of material sense gratification, you're doing what you know you don't want to do. You're forced to live a life that actually you have values better than what you're doing. So I bless you that you will meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram. You will meet him in your life as a donkey. And there he went. He went down to earth and he landed in the Talavan forest. So now this sets the stage. Krishna and Balaram, as we've heard, they've arrived in Govardhan. Now Krishna can take out the cows. It's so sweet. Everyone's so excited. Before, he was just serving the calves nearby in the home. But now he can roam. He can roam all over Braj. And one day in Govardhan, the sweet fragrance. You can smell the sweet fragrance coming from the altar right now. The sweet fragrance was coming. And it was coming from the Talavan forest. And it was the fragrance of these tala fruits. These very sweet, delicious fruits. And the coward boys, the sukkas, they smiled. Oh, they smelled it. So wonderful. And they wanted Krishna and Balaram to enjoy the fruits. They wanted them to enjoy the fruits. But they knew that if they said, Krishna and Balaram, these are wonderful fruits. We want you to have them. Why don't you go so you can get some fruits for yourselves? He knew that they would say, no need. Mother Yashoda, she packed us such a wonderful lunch. Why go elsewhere? Because the Lord he's not chasing just after the tastiest fruit, the tastiest meal. The Lord is chasing after the taste of his loving offerings from his devotees. Mother Yashoda's love is unmatched. Why does he need these tala fruits? So the boys are very clever. They thought, okay, we want to serve Krishna Balaram, and they want to serve us. This is the loving reciprocation. So they told Krishna and Balaram, oh, we really want these tala fruits. Oh, they smell so good. Krishna and Balaram, please take us to Talavan, please. And we heard there's a demon there, and, you know, we haven't fought a demon in a long time. Please take us to Talavan. So Krishna and Balaram agreed, yes, let's go to Talavan. And Lord Balaram led the way. And there they went, Talavan forest, heavily guarded by Dhenukasura. It was midday. He was asleep. After all, he's the personification of the mode of ignorance. But they could see in this Talavan forest, there was a different atmosphere. Usually everywhere Krishna and Balaram went, the trees would bow their head to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram and offer their fruits as offerings. Everywhere they went, this is the reciprocation of the fruit trees with Krishna and Balaram. Here in Talavan, the trees didn't do that. Why? They were so afraid. They were so afraid of Dhenukasura because every bird that flew died. Every person that came to get fruits was killed. There were bones scattered all around the trees. Krishna began taking rocks and throwing it at the trees. Let's get some fruits down. But they thought, let's entice Lord Balaram. So the coward boy said, oh, Lord Balaram, you have such long arms, such strong arms. Why don't you use them? And Balaram felt, okay, now is my chance. Now is my chance to show my strength. So Lord Balaram went to the nearest tala tree, and he shook the tree, And like an avalanche, all the fruits began to fall. All the fruits began to fall. All the boys began to cheer, Jai Balaram, Jai Balaram, Jai Balaram. Dhenukasura started to hear something. What's going on? Children, boys, what is happening? And he started to realize what's happening. And here the acharyas make a very interesting point, and they start to bring the tattva of Lord Balaram into this pastime. They say Lord Balaram is the original guru, and this shaking of the trees is very significant. Because what is one definition of the word guru? What is one definition? Heavy. Lord Balaram shaking the trees is compared to the spiritual master who shakes the living entity, who wakes them up. And this falling of the fruits represents our anartas, that if we accept, if we surrender, if we accept the mercy of the spiritual master, however heavy it may be, our anartas will come down. They will. But if we resist, if we hold on, they will not. This is the mercy of Lord Balaram. So all the fruits were falling. Dhenukasura became so angry. And he saw, he caught gaze of Lord Balaram. And he charged towards him. He took his two hind legs, kicked him in the chest. And Lord Balaram was smiling. We heard in the pastime of Dravida that the first attack of Dravida to Lord Balaram was smiling. And so he tried once again, and this time Lord Balaram took him, whirled him around, threw Dhenukasura far away. This is the point where acharyas and scriptures like Garga Samhita, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, they give a few more details into this pastime. When Dhenukasura arose, he came back. He was dazed. He looked at Balaram and he thought, let me give this guy a break. Let me give myself a break from him. And he turned to the coward boys. Now just imagine, in other pastimes, for example, shortly after this is the pastime of Kaliya. When Krishna was fighting with Kaliya and was seemingly being in the clutches of Kaliya with no way to get out, what were the residents of Vrindavan doing? They were in so much anxiety. They were fainting. They were saying, Krishna, no, no, please. But in the presence of Lord Balaram, with this huge donkey demon, this is not just some average mule. This is horns, big, strong, hooves like steel, charging at the boys, praying loudly. Were they afraid? No, they were not afraid. The coward boys were blissful because they've taken shelter of Lord Balaram. Acharyas explained that when anyone is close to Lord Balaram, he becomes empowered in an unusual way. That unusual way is that there is no fear, right? There is no fear. This is because Lord Balaram is the original guru. He's Samasti Guru Tattva, the sum total of all guru shakti. And he represents that truth through the empowerment, the spiritual strength which Lord Balaram gives, the fearlessness that Lord Balaram gives. There is a verse in Shastra. Mukham karoti vachalam bangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande paramananda madhavam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Madhava, who turns the dumb into eloquent speakers and enables the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. So mukham karoti vachalam. A person who is mute, they can speak eloquently. A person who cannot walk, they can cross a mountain. Why? This is the mercy of the Lord, which comes through the guru, through the spiritual master. And this is what Lord Balaram is showing. These boys, they're not afraid because they've taken shelter of me, because they're entrusted with me. Therefore, I give them my bala, my spiritual strength. And what is the effect of that? That they are not afraid. And so this is where the story gets very, very sweet. So Dhenukasura first charged, Sridham. What did Sridham do? Sridham took his stick and he smashed Dedukashira on the head. Oh, he was bewildered. Then Subal came. What did Subal come? Subal punched Dedukashira in the face. It keeps going. Stoka Krishna came. He took his rope, the same rope he uses to tie the legs of the cows, and he whipped the demon. It keeps going. Arjuna and Hamsu, they came. They lifted the demon. They threw him on the ground. Two other coward boys, they came. Rishabha and Visalia, they ran to the demon. They kicked him in the head. This continued again and again and again. And Dedukashira was just bewildered. What's going on? What's happening? And finally, there was even one very small coward boy. His name is Varutapa. He's like a toddler. And he even got in the action. And it said that Varutapa, he attacked Dedukashira with his toy ball. He threw his ball at the face of Dedukashira. This is all there in Garga Samhita. What a beating. I mean, this is the mercy of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram gives strength to everybody, young, old, weak, you know, so-called strong. This is the empowerment. This is the spiritual strength that's there, that nothing, not even the most scary demon, not even the most ignorance within our heart. This demon, Dedukashira, represents ignorance. If you take shelter of Lord Balaram, you will not become bewildered by the illusion of the material world. This is the purport of this pastime. If you take shelter of Lord Balaram, you will not become bewildered by the illusion of this material world. So the pastime continues. For the sake of time, I'll come towards the end. Dedukashira tries with Krishna. And finally, Lord Balaram says, let's put an end to this. And this is where we see in Srimad Bhagavatam the twirling of Dedukashira by his two front legs, and then the throwing of Dedukashira that collapses the tala tree and finally ends his life. But there's a small detail. In this twirling, and I like to think of it, if you're ever in a very ecstatic kirtan, and you're like this with the devotee, and you're twirling around, and everything is spinning super fast, but what can you see? Just the devotee in front of you. So here's Dedukashira. Here is his boon from Durvasa Muni. He's being twirled and twirled, but he's looking at the beautiful face of Lord Balaram, and he's in ecstasy, and he's so blissful. And this is he's got the darshan face to face with Lord Balaram. This is the mercy of Lord Balaram. Kalakanta Prabhu says it's through his plow and his club, he has a very chivalrous nature. He loves a good fight, but that's how his mercy comes. And he's spinning and he's spinning. And when he's finally passes away and the devatas are throwing flowers, this beautiful spiritual body, not a forearm body, a two-arm form, like a coward boy with yellow garments, a flower garland. This comes from the body of Dedukashira. And a wonderful, it's described, an 8-mile-long Vimana airplane comes with 10,000 horses. And where does he go? He goes to Goloka Vrindavan. It's so amazing. The potency of the spiritual master is that even though it may be heavy, the result is the supreme abode of the Lord, is Goloka Vrindavan. This is the shakti, the potency of Lord Balaram, which he empowers within the spiritual master and the guru parampara, that when the living entity, when we can take shelter and fully surrender to the spiritual master, this is the same result that we can have as Dedukashira. When our ignorance is finally removed from our heart, and we can take pleasure in the process of Krishna consciousness, Rama, with the strength, Bala, then we can have the same result as Dedukashira. So there's two last points. Why was it Balaram and not Krishna that killed Dhenukasura. Right, but all these other demons, it's Krishna. There is, Bali is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, correct? And this makes Sahasrita the great-grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord had given a promise, Krishna had given a promise to Prahlad that he would not kill any of his descendants. The Sringadeva had also given a promise to Prahlad that he would liberate the 21 generations of his descendants. So in this way, this is an external reason. But the internal reason is that Lord Balaram, as the original guru, is showing that the only way which we can eradicate the ignorance of our heart is by taking shelter of the spiritual master. It's Om Jnana Tibirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. We say this every day. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, or the darkest ignorance. And my spiritual master has opened my eyes with a torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Every day we chant this. It's an essential spiritual truth. Another verse we chant every day. Maybe we can sing it together. Chakudana diloje janme janme prabhu se divya gyan hrede prakasito prema bhakti jaha hoite avidya vinasha jate vedigyai jahara charito. He opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord, birth after birth. From him, ecstatic prema emanates. By him, ignorance is destroyed. The Vedic scriptures sing of his character. Prema bhakti jaha hoite, avidya vi nashayate. This avidya, it's ignorance, vinash, it's eradicated. Because of the ecstatic prema, right, Balaram, it's not just the strength, it's the prema, it's the love, it's the bhakti. So this is the mercy of Balaram will come to us. How? The Dhenukasura within ourselves will be eradicated. How? It's said that the spiritual master, the living entity, and the supreme Lord, this is one relationship. Srila Prabhupada described that the spiritual master is the transparent via medium. We heard this, the transparent via medium between the devotee and the supreme Lord. It's like a window. He's there to bring the devotee to the Supreme Lord. And this relationship is like a triangle. It's never without the Supreme Lord. Because this is Guru Parampara. It comes from the Lord himself. And therefore, for us to receive the mercy of Lord Balaram in this lifetime, yes, we must approach Lord Balaram directly, but we cannot do so without having approached the spiritual master. We cannot do so without giving our body, mind, our words. This is known as Atmani Vedanam. We cannot get the mercy of of Lord Balaram without surrendering to the spiritual master, without connecting through receiving the mantras from him, formally connecting ourselves to the Guru Parampara. It's very essential. And this is the reason why spiritual strength, enthusiasm, the ability to move past what we can do with our own limitation. This is known as empowerment. This comes when there is surrender to the spiritual master, surrender to Lord Balaram. I wanted to end with a little story, a little personal story, and a little reflection I had about the significance of this day here, living in New Ramanreti. And I really strongly believe that Lord Balaram is the main presiding deity of New Ramanreti. Why do I feel that? Narottam Das Thakur says, without the mercy of Balaram Nitai, we cannot receive the mercy of Radha and Krishna. Without the mercy of Balaram Nitai, we cannot receive the mercy of Radha and Krishna. we are so, so fortunate that Lord Balaram is here. He's just in our backyard. And we're so fortunate that this is the forest of the coward boys, Raman Reti, new Raman Reti, headed by Lord Balaram. And I feel so strongly that any difficulty I've ever had, any anxiety I've ever had, I feel the most reciprocation from Lord Balaram. I don't know if any of you else feel this way. When I was in Vrindavan, I was 18. I went for 3 months. I took a semester off to be part of the 24-hour kirtan. And since I was a teenager, this was just my dream. And I remember when I got there, it felt so lonely. I knew two or three people. The first 2 weeks, I barely left my room. I didn't know what kirtan shift to do. I didn't know anybody. Sometimes people in India could be a little cold, and it's hard to get to know one another. There's a language barrier. Didn't know where to eat. And I remember 2 weeks in, I was feeling that, am I going to be able to make it 2.5 more months? And Burijan Prabhu was giving the morning class, and he ended with this story, and it was really a prayer that was a mood that was my saving grace for the rest of the trip. And I want to share it so that every time you may feel somewhat similar, you can turn to Lord Balaram with the same prayer. This is the story. It's narrated by Jayaveta Maharaj. The next day, I was on Prabhupada's morning walk on what was then Chattikara Road, which at the time, of course, was really just a dusty road, though a largely inhabited, undeveloped region of Vrindavan with woods and fields on both sides. Prabhupada that morning was again very much pleased. He had worked so hard to establish the temple and install the deities, and now it had come off, meaning it had been completed. Prabhupada recalled how he had pushed the devotees. He said, "I was practically whipping them." Then he began telling how Krishna was flattering Balaram, that, "My dear brother, all of these trees are bending down to offer you their obeisances. And these bees, they're all great sages who are coming to you for your association." In that way, he began describing that pastime. Then he said how Gaura Nitai, or Krishna and Balaram, are non-different. There is no difference between Krishna and Balaram and Gaura Nitai. He said, "So if you ever have any difficulty, you can go before Gaura Nitai or Krishna Balaram and say, 'Sir, this is the problem,' and they will do the needful." You can go before Gaura Nitai or Krishna Balaram and say, "My dear sir, this is the problem," and they will do the needful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Do we have a little time for questions?
Very little.
We do one question or comment, if there is one. I see Kishore's hand here in the front.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. Yeah, it's a comment. Just something really sweet about the sameness and difference of Krishna and Balaram. I believe it's in...
It's so quiet. You have to talk louder.
I think it's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's described how when Krishna and the cowherd boys are walking in the forest, the cowherd boys love Krishna so much that even if Krishna passes by a tree, you know, like you're walking, he passed by, they feel so much separation. But every day when Krishna leaves to go to Radhakund to meet with Srimati Radharani, he's gone for hours. And I was thinking, how is it possible that the cowherd boys can tolerate being separated from him for so long? Mm. So I asked one senior devotee, and he said, "Well, Krishna and Balaram, they are non-different." Mm. So when Krishna leaves, Balaram is playing with all the boys and kind of keeping them engaged.
Yeah.
So they don't miss Krishna too much. But of course, after a while, you know, there's only so much time they can tolerate I think Krishna reappears again. And so it's just that meditation that for the Cowherd boys, they have such deep love for Krishna, but because Balaram is non-different, they find so much bliss in his association.
Yeah.
But it's still not the same.
Yeah.
They still want Krishna to come back.
Yeah. It's not the same yet. At the same time, he gives so much solace. Yeah, he kept the gopis going. Yeah, Prabhu.
I wanted to confirm what you said about Balaram being the main deity or the proprietor deity. Many people ask Srila Prabhupada, why are you installing Krishna Balaram as the central deity in Vrindavan? Quite unusual,
right,
because all the temples have some form of Radha Krishna and the gopis.
Mm-hmm.
And Srila Prabhupada replied that if they don't worship Lord Balaram or Lord Nityananda, they will never have the qualifications of being able to worship Radha and Krishna.
Mm.
So that is confirmed in that respect.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you all so much. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Hare Krishna.